Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Gangrajan in Bangkok, Thailand, January 2015. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Rob M., Sarah, John, Nina, and Tambak, Tiny Tam, Ha, Sukin, and other friends.
This is film email to DSG. Dear Sarah or Kankachan, hope you are having a great first day of discussions. Still glad that I decided to cancel. I'm having that needed rest. Hopefully next year. Please say happy birthday to Achan from me. And ask this question. I heard that you say it can be virya that wants to have less akusala, but usually you and others say that self wants to have less akusala. Why does it have to be self all the time? I think how some cheetahs can reflect on the disadvantage of akusala and want to have less of it. Thank you. It felt like you were talking about kusala virya when you said virya. Yes, after seeing, hearing, that's thinking. It's like we are wants to have less akusala. Is this?
Can you read it once more, though, please?
Just the question portion? Can you read it again?
Once more, the question. Mm.
He seems to that it can be virya that wants to have less akusala, but as everybody often say, that self wants to have less akusala. Why does it have to be self all the time?
If we do not understand virya right now, can there be more or less virya or kusala or akusala?
No.
So I think that we better talk about just one Dhamma at a time, and then one can understand better. For example, if we are going to talk about virya, we have to know what virya is, and is there virya right now. This is more important than just learning a lot about the story of virya, but cannot really directly understand it when it appears. So what is virya? Self or virya is virya, a reality. Mm-hmm. Who can know whether there is virya right now?
Difficult to know only panya.
But why do we study Dhamma? Just to learn the words or to understand whatever appears now, little by little. In order to know even virya directly, not just talking about virya. So if we talk a lot about virya, but no understanding of what appears now, can there be any moment that we can understand virya as not self? With ignorance and attachment, one takes everything for me or mine all the time. Even virya. So at this moment of talking about virya, what is there here? This is the point of why do we study Abhidhamma or Dhamma of the Buddha. Just to understand that which is now appearing. Otherwise it's useless. Learn from books all the time until death comes. No understanding of what is now appearing that Buddha taught at all. So this is the point of studying the teachings. Dhamma is so very subtle. Why? That's why it is Abhidhamma. Seeing sees many, many times in a day, almost all day long. But is there any understanding of seeing? If not, study more. Because it is the object of right understanding with virya, see? So now it's not that moment yet. So there is virya now. We learn from books that only 18 chetasikas, excuse me, only 16 chetasikas do not have virya with it. But that's a book. But now, as much as one can know is that seeing now has no virya with it. Seeing can do not need seeing itself. Doesn't need viriya to be conditioned, but the other moment, besides the 16 moments of ahetuka citta, there must be viriya. This from book, but that's not just the point to study Dhamma, because the point of studying Dhamma is to understand directly what Buddha said about seeing as it's conditioned, it arises and falls away. That's why we study more than just from book. There must be the understanding that it's now. Buddha taught about whatever arises and appears now as it is, so that there can be the beginning of understanding Dhamma, not self.
Ajahn, you say that with ignorance and attachment, one takes viriya for self all
everything.
The time. Everything. If there is a moment of kusala, would be with kusala viriya. Is it the moment after?
Is it not now? Just talk about one moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Now at this moment, is it kusala?
I don't know.
See? We just learn. When
right.
will there be the understanding of reality just one at a time as it's taught in Tipitaka? And we keep on talking more and more without understanding. So only if. But let's see at this moment whether it is kusala or not kusala. Otherwise, why do we talk about viriya with kusala?
Probably not. It's the self wanting to know.
And I think the point that came up in Phil's question is that when there's trying to have kusala, we like to think that it's kusala, but actually it's self that's trying.
Yes,
self
when there's
trying to have.
When there's trying, for sure. But sometimes kusala arises naturally.
This
with
is
no
the way.
Trying.
This is the
That's
way
right.
to understand what is
That's
kusala
right.
and what is not kusala.
Right, but trying is definitely a kusala viriya.
And when it is kusala, there's no
trying as
That's
we
right.
think of
That's
it.
Right.
The
so
viriya is there. It's kusala at that moment.
Yes.
No trying.
Yeah. So. When there's no trying, it's kusala, kusala viriya, and at that moment, ignorance and attachment do not take it for self. But subsequent moments, they can. Yeah. Okay.
Even a kusala is conditioned by viriya too. No one tries
yes.
at all.
Yes, yes, the same with a kusala.
That's why you have to learn
well.
Tipitaka. Abhidhamma in details.
When you say if there's no trying, it's kusala, well...
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Yes, yeah, so if it's kusala, it's kusala.
Sometimes kusala arises naturally.
Right.
From trying and...
Yeah.
Kusala
yeah.
arises naturally. And actually what we call but trying is a
kind of a long story because viriya is arising at almost every moment except for those 16 ahetuka citta, so... Every other moment, viriya is arising and falling away. So what we call trying, the countless cittas arising with viriya.
So does it come back to knowing kusala when it arises naturally in daily life?
No intention. When there is more understanding, one can understand the inertness of even kusala moment.
What are the favorable conditions for more kusala?
Again, favorable. Is it not the moment which is favorable? Yeah.
And the conditions for that?
Sada. Confidence.
Can you tell us more about sadha, Kunsichan?
Again, it cannot be directly known now, because otherwise it would be intention just to know this or that. But it depends on understanding. When the understanding, the theoretical understanding is enough, it can condition right awareness. Right then, there is no selection at all, whether it is satta or what is the object of understanding. So just leave it to anattaness. Because the more there is understanding of the teachings, the less the idea to self. But without understanding, self is so great because it's very deeply rooted. Just want to have variable or thing like that, see? What's the underlying?
Actually, during our discussion last night back at the bungalow, this came up. I think Rob said that saddha was a condition for kusala, and I said that I thought saddha had to be based on understanding in the first place. Is that
right? It depends,
right,
because saddha can arise with any type of kusala, with or without right understanding.
Returning to virya, observing the current mental state with understanding, we can see that there is a level of virya, could be a strong level, could be a weak level of virya at this moment.
Is observing not the idea of self? Or is it not self at that moment which is observing? Because all the teachings of the Buddha brings about understanding. So each word is the word of understanding. Not to do anything, but to understand. Because who's Buddha and who are we? Can we understand each word of the Buddha correctly with our study carefully? Otherwise, we might think that we understand because we are used to the word like effort or virya in English or in Pali. But actually, it's only just word if there is no understanding of whatever appears now.
Okay, so let me restate. There is understanding of the current moment, of the present moment, and understanding of virya at the present moment.
No selection. When it's understanding, it conditions the elimination of the clinging to anything. Attachment clings, but panya detaches.
So when there is understanding, there is no segregation of virya versus any of the other mental factors. Is that what you're saying?
Does virya appear now? Does virya appear now?
Yes, virya appears now.
Really? What appears now? Seeing sees visible object and hearing hears sound. Where is virya?
In the mind, the mental state at this moment, there is a sense, a impression, yeah, an understanding of an energetic mind.
My mind. My mind, my mental state, now. No understanding what is meant by mind or mental state. Because we're just talking about that. But what about now? What is the mind and what is the mental state?
The mind is moving from one object to another.
Moving? Can it?
At this moment, it is on this object. The next moment, the mind is on another object.
How come to that moment which here and there? What is mind, actually? We have to study just one word at a time.
Awareness?
No.
No.
In Pali, please, so that we can speak specifically.
Okay. Chitta, consciousness,
okay,
awareness.
Now we talk about just one reality at a time, right?
Yes.
Chitta.
Chitta.
What is that?
Awareness.
No.
Pali for awareness?
The Pali for awareness I'm using is chitta, consciousness.
No.
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 You said consciousness. You said consciousness. Consciousness.
Consciousness.
Right.
Yes.
I know that awareness is used in a wider sense by many people, and they use it instead of being conscious of an object. But when we speak about awareness here, we refer really to sati, okay, which is aware of this or that object, and arises only with kusala's citta.
Right.
So it's not in the wide sense that many people use the word awareness.
Okay, I would use mindfulness for sati, but can also, so if we stick to the Pali, then I am talking about citta, the ultimate reality of citta.
Because you see that even in Thai language, we mix the Pali and the Thai. So the Thai use Pali without the understanding of the teachings at all. So they take sati for something, they take samadhi for something, but actually no understanding of Dhamma. So we better talk about the Dhamma one at a time, like citta. Is the citta now?
The citta is now. It is accompanied by virya and...
Every time?
According to the texts, no. According to my
reality.
Experience, according to what I have experienced so far, yes.
I think that we better talk about according to reality, to the absolute characteristic, no self at all, because no one can know better than the Buddha himself. Okay. So we talk about citta now.
There is citta now.
Yes, no self.
There is no self. There is citta now. And accompanying this citta now, there is virya.
Not now. At what moment, please? It can be now, but what moment? We have to be exact, very precise.
At this moment now, there is virya.
Let's say citta. Oh, virya, okay. Virya with what citta?
At a moment of seeing.
At the moment... There is no awareness, or no, use the word awareness, conscious experiencing then as citta, then there is no experiencing of seeing at this moment, thinking.
It's seeing now, citta.
Yes.
With virya or without virya?
It is passive, it is without virya.
Okay. So when will be virya?
When the mind takes over.
And what mind? What citta?
From there, that would be the javana cittas.
Javana.
Virya with charana? Or before javana?
Together with.
Not together, one at a time. Before Chavana, does Virya arise with the previous citta?
With the determining citta?
Manodvara vajana or vottapana, okay.
Okay, no, not with Manodvara citta, there is no Virya.
Manodvara vajana needs Virya.
It needs Virya.
To condition taking that which is experienced. To condition the Javana, kusala or akusala.
And then
so among the 18 ahetuka cittas, there are only two with virya, manodvara vajana and hasitupada.
Mm.
Only two. So this is why we do study very carefully. Otherwise, there must be the idea of self. But the more there is the understanding of what is taught, the more we can see that no one can do that, to have virya with this citta or that citta or none at all. It indicates the nothingness of all dharmas. Otherwise, it's useless to study dhamma if we do not have understanding of whatever appears in daily life. Just to have more understanding of nothingness, less clinging even from theoretical understanding, which is not the direct understanding yet. Because without the understanding of this intellectual understanding, no condition for even right awareness and right understanding can arise. So it's not self at all who tries to study, to understand, and to condition moment of awareness or mahasatipatthana. All along with the idea of non-self, all conditioned reality, and it is conditioned already. Nobody can do anything at all. This is the way to have more and more confidence in the teachings of anatta-ness. It has to go along with non-self, with detachment, not attachment at all. And nothing can have conditionless attachment. It has to be panya only, right understanding. Even we are talking about the arising and falling away of realities right now, they do not appear as conditioned to arise and fall away. That's why one can see the distinction between pariyatti and patipatti. Otherwise, one might have the idea that I can do, I'm thinking, considering, developing, but actually that's not right awareness. Who knows the Buddha without understanding his teachings? And who's he? So far away with the virtues of right understanding. And who are we? Comparing to the earth and the sky up there, over there. Many people study the teachings with the idea of I want to be such and such. I want to know such and such. I want to attain Nibbana. Not because of I have ignorance. And with the teachings of the Buddha only, which can clean up the dirtiness of the mind, which is so very, very thick. Little by little, gradually. And Panya can see the difference between the intellectual understanding and the direct understanding and the realization of reality, different stages. Panya does not deceive. So straight, so true. While attachment deceive all the time with ignorance. Otherwise, it's not Buddhang Saraṇang Gacchami or Namo Tassa Bhagavato. If we can read without study carefully, it seems like we can understand his teachings very easily. But it's not like that at all. So just one word right now, Dhamma.
It seems that a lot of people place a lot of importance on virya, and they think that...
Excuse me, why?
Well, because I think they have the idea that there has to be some sort of conscious effort.
Idea of self, I.
But if there's kusala jitta, then
there's virya accompanying the kusala jitta already.
Now?
If I wish.
Because you see that we just talk and talk and talk and talk till we die without no understanding of whatever appears. And then this life is past life or future life. No memory about this life at all, like previous life and this life. So what's the use of just talking, thinking in terms of different language and then forget all? like many lives ago, you might be very well versed in Pali. It's your daily language. But now?
In our discussion yesterday evening, Rob, you were bringing up the last words of the Buddha, striving on with diligence. Maybe you'd like to bring up that point because it's interesting for others as well.
Again, who? You see, that's why I just talk about now, because I know that it's so very difficult to understand whatever appears now. If I keep on talking about the things, it doesn't help to understand even just the word Dhamma. So please.
We were talking about Virya yesterday in our conversation last night, and I mentioned the last words of the Buddha, strive on with diligence.
Strive to understand, or strive to do whatever one would like to do.
The words strive on with diligence, at least in English, imply energy, virya.
To do what?
The point that we were discussing is that virya is a critical aspect, because that was what the Buddha's last words were. They weren't just relax, take it easy.
What for?
They were strive on with diligence, and so therefore, interpreting those words as saying virya is important.
Who or Dhamma which is doing that? At that moment, is it wrong virya when there's the idea of I?
Obviously, the Buddha was not encouraging akusala virya. He would have been encouraging kusala virya.
And did he encourage to develop understanding too? Any word of his teachings?
Throughout the teachings, he encouraged the developing understanding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not just read. Having virya, that's not his teachings, more than that.
Correct.
It's a very, very pithy sentence, isn't it? Strive on with diligence. So it needs to be interpreted in some way, because just those words, strive on with diligence, strive for what? So it needs interpretation.
We can at least say, without further interpretation, that energy or virya is important.
Yeah. Just regarding those last words, apamadena sampadita, the Buddha did say impermanent, he preceded that statement by impermanent are all conditioned realities. So that perhaps helps to flesh out that those words, strive on with diligence, if it's borne in mind what is said beforehand.
Context.
Yeah, the context of what he said. I don't think it's a easy area to understand. You know, we talked last night about that Oga Tarana Sutta. When the Buddha said, when this Dewa came to see the Buddha and wanted to know how he crossed the flood, the Oga, and the Buddha said to him, or her, excuse me, that not by standing still and yet by not going too fast.
Yeah, but did he teach to those who understand what he meant.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I just...
Not to anyone, just read without any understanding of Dharma as no self at all.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying, but I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of other people sometimes. And...
Without helping them to understand Dharma from the very beginning, can they understand that correctly?
Mm. No, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, Ajahn.
That's what Ajahn was saying earlier. You can't just read the words, and particularly the translations. If they're not read with understanding, then they will be misunderstood, for sure. Because conventionally, there is so much ignorance and attachment and self, idea of self predominates. And that the only way to really understand what the Buddha said at any time, and particularly those last words, is through understanding now and having an understanding gained through awareness of the present moment of no self. It's not, as a concept, no self is difficult, but one can sort of think they understand it, but we're not talking about the concept of no self, and we're not talking about the conventional concept of striving. I think it's best if Ajahn continues this.
As Ajahn was asking, strive with diligence to do, you would finish the sentence, to do something, right? Strive with diligence. And we would finish the sentence, say, doing this and doing that, right? That your interpretation of the phrase.
I did not go that far. I just stopped at strive with diligence. The word strive in English and the word diligence in English imply an element of virya. I'm not going to go further than that. No, not going that far.
Some more to that.
I'll not go that far to virya.
But I think Alberto's raised a really, really good point. We often have the impression that when we hear that phrase, even in Pali, there is the implication of somebody who has to do something. And I guess because we're so deeply rooted with that idea of self, it's very difficult to move beyond and have the idea that there is that wisdom can be achieved without some effort on my behalf. So it seems like a conundrum, like a, what do I do? What do I do?
And what did he say before that?
Sankara.
This is more important. Not self at all.
Yeah, anicca vata sankara. You know, everything's impermanent. Mm. You know,
not self, so it's not self.
So that gets a bit of context to the striving reference, doesn't it? The preceding sentence, impermanent or conditioned realities.
So, all right. Okay, so all conditioned things are impermanent.
Including now.
Including now. All conditioned dhammas are impermanent.
Even virya?
Yes, even virya. All conditioned dhammas are impermanent. So what does that imply? How does that provide the context? Or so how does that help us to interpret strive on with diligence? Where does that take us with strive on with diligence?
Well, I think it implies that the task is to see the impermanence of dhammas.
So let me just restate what I think you've said. All conditioned dhammas are impermanent. Strive on with diligence.
All conditioned realities.
All conditioned realities are impermanent. Mm. Strive on to recognize this with diligence. To recognize this fact that all conditioned realities are impermanent. Is that the interpretation of the strive on with diligence? It's strive on with diligence in understanding the fact that all conditioned realities are impermanent. Is that the interpretation?
So not forgetting Dhamma, not I. Even striving.
And so we're talking about the development of the understanding that sees Dhammas as impermanent.
But what is there at that moment of striving, not I? With our citta chetasika, can that be such moment?
Right.
So what's there actually? That moment of striving.
Even
all conditioned realities.
Oh yeah, although you can, I'm just thinking of that phrase, apamadena sampadita. It can mean striving, but also it can mean like a kind of vigor or a walking or a going. And the word pamada, pamada is like, it's apamada. Pamada is the like a madness, you know, not to have madness of the present moment, essentially.
So when there is understanding,
like now, of what appears now, like what is visible now, at that moment of understanding, there is sati, there is right samavirya at that moment. There is right effort, there is no negligence at that moment. So at that moment of understanding what appears now, it is what we could conventionally call right striving, because the effort and the awareness that arise with the understanding at this moment understand that reality. There's no negligence, there's no akusala. It is the way leading to the understanding of realities as impermanent. But no one who makes the understanding arise, no one who makes the virya arise, no one who makes the sati arise, nothing to be done. It's just by understanding, and by understanding, right virya develops.
I think what you said then too, Sarah, I like, because you used the word neglect, because the word apamaka can mean not to neglect. Not to neglect. Non-neglectful. Being non-neglectful. Walking non-neglectfully, in a way, yeah.
So developing
understanding and awareness and right effort is the path of not neglecting. It's not neglecting the task that needs to be done. The leading to the development of Satipatthana and eventually the eradication of Kalesa.
And when we read the teachings with understanding of no self, not forgetting what he taught must be all about Dhamma, no self at all, whether this is attachment or effort or whatever. He taught all about Dhammas. When we forget, then it's I. It's like he told us to do this and that. But actually, he didn't tell anyone to do anything, just to teach them to have right understanding of everything as not self. This is the beginning of the teaching, which will keep on to the end, to be arahata.
When you were speaking earlier, you said a phrase that resonated and I noted it down, that understanding conditions detachment.
Right.
That
detached from taking it for self, detached from all akusala.
And so I would like to understand more that detachment? Is it just to non-self, or is it broader than just detachment from non-self? The understanding conditioning detachment, that I think is very, to me, is very significant. It resonated with me. Detachment of from self, yes?
Which will lead to from all akusala dhammas.
And so understanding conditions detachment from self, and then the detachment from self extends to detachment from the other,
from wrong understanding,
from wrong understanding,
from doubt, wrong practice, wrong development. This is the function of panya at level of becoming sotapanna.
So the impression I have is that panya is like the key that opens the door.
Right.
Because once the door of non-self is opened, because of the key of panya conditioning the detachment from self, once the door is open, then all the other things fall in place.
Right. Little by little.
And then one knows whatever one reads
about striving or balancing faculties or anything else. It's referring to dhammas that are not self, not anyone to do, not any practice to follow.
Only the sotapanna has actually managed to open the door fully, because for the rest of us, the door opens a tiny bit and gets slammed shut again, so until the next moment of panya, because there's lots of thinking and idea of self in between.
Avijja looks up from this to this to that, little by little. So many, many gates is unlocked by avijja.
So the other point on that came up in our discussion
on virya was with regard to the indriyas and faculties, and you were referring to energy and the fingers of the hand. Would you like to bring that point up?
In our discussion last night, we talked about the five spiritual faculties: faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. And I likened them in an analogy to five fingers. Each of the five fingers need to be strong for the hand to work. And this more or less puts energy and understanding, the panya, virya, all of them as important, which is not the what we have just discussed, where panya is the key. Rather, panya is one of five in this list, that all five need to be developed, and focusing on exclusively developing one is not going to help the five work as a team. So in the suttas it talks about the five, and each of the five are given importance and prominence. And in fact, it said that faith is the leader. It didn't say understanding is the leader. It says in the commentaries that faith is the leader. So how do we reconcile this, where some places it says faith is the leader, when we talk about the five spiritual faculties, it puts them all basically on a relatively equal footing. It doesn't differentiate one over another. And yet, what you have discussed here is panya conditions detachment, detachment to self, and that opens the door to the rest. Therefore, panya is a leader. So we've got three different perspectives. faith, equal, or panya? Help me reconcile these three different perspectives.
Right now, what appears? Faith or panya?
Should I interpret your answer as saying book learning is not as important as the current moment experience?
No, not like that at all. Not like that at all. Because what we learned must be about realities right now. Mm-hmm. We learn to understand this moment as a thought. Otherwise, it's useless, because if there is no understanding, after a lot of theoretical understanding, it's useless. So now, it can bring more understanding of what is thought like now. Is there faith or panya?
Do I understand what you are saying is relate this question to the present moment of what is being experienced now? Is there faith at this moment? Is there wisdom at this moment? Is there panya at this moment? Is there sadha at this moment? Is there virya at this moment? Have I understood you correctly?
What is predominant?
And then, how is that predominant factor experienced?
I think you can, her question is quite
simple. She's just saying what seems more obvious or apparent now.
Okay, so at this moment there is energy, there is virya, an energetic, at this moment there is energy.
Okay. To what citta? With what citta? When it's an object, no need to think about it, because it's there. When viriya is the object, no need to think about viriya, because it's there to be object, mm-hmm. Right? But when it's not the object, and at moment of thinking, it's not the understanding of that which appears, but that's, the self is trying to find out. So one is finding out whether it is viriya or what, but that is not the understanding of viriya, that it is now. Because when it's now, it appears as the object. That's why, who can understand the cetasikas which arise with each citta, like parsa? See? Sanya, ekakata, Chivitindriya, Manasikara, Chetana. See, it seems like there is Chetana at moment of trying to do something, but it's I. So the point of the teaching is to condition understanding of realities as not self, and understand that which is appearing, that which does not appear. There cannot be the understanding of that, or that which hasn't arisen yet. There cannot be understanding of that, only that which appears. Buddha enlightened that which appears, not the past of the future reality. So now, there are many realities appearing, arising, and falling away. And panya, if there is no understanding of them, it's not the direct understanding of Dhamma. So Dhamma is only the idea, not the characteristic which is Dhamma itself. even we talk about the conditioned realities, only idea. So that cannot bring to the realization of any without the right understanding from very beginning develops until we can condition right awareness directly, which is patipatti, which will lead to pativeda, to know who's Buddha. And the meaning of being Sammasambuddho. And who are his savaka, the listeners. There must be understanding of realities which appear too, not just only theoretical understanding.
Ajahn's question,
which is more predominant now, understanding or sadha. So some people might say understanding and others might say sadha because different accumulations. So for some sadha is stronger, for some understanding is stronger. But without the development of understanding, nothing can be known about them. So when it's talking about the indriyas or the development of the faculties, different accumulations, that's why different factors may be predominant depending on accumulation.
But it cannot be known without panya.
So panya knows what?
And we discussed yesterday evening about how
sadha cannot develop without panya either. There can be sadha, like at any moment of kusala, but without the development of panya, without knowing what's what, it cannot develop.
So going back to this analogy of panya conditioning detachment from self, that being the key that opens the door, and then the other things fall in place. Is this one path for clearing things? Is this the only path for clearing things? The only way is through... We have one path, which is panya, conditioning, detachment from self, that opens the door. That allows the others to, the other defilements and other tendencies to be addressed. Am I to understand that this is the only way, or is this is just one way? Are there other ways to remove? I'm asking if there are other ways.
What did Buddha say?
Yeah, Satipatthana, yeah, the four foundations. You can look at the body, you can look at the mind, you know, the feeling and mind. And so there are the four foundations, yes.
It means that there must be right understanding of whatever appears now. The only way.
Does it say in the sutta you can look at, or does it say the bhikkhu clearly comprehends?
Clearly comprehends.
And what is clear comprehension?
Sampasampajana.
Which mental factor would that be? Yeah, which jetasika?
That would be panya.
Panya.
Yeah.
And in that point
that Ajahn made, that you appreciated it about panya leading to detachment from
the idea of self.
Conditioning detachment, not leading, conditioning.
Well, conditioning detachment, but yeah. It also leads to more and more detachment. We can say both. Because when there is panya, there is detachment. So it is the development of detachment with understanding. They arise together. And it leads to all kinds of kusala, and she also mentioned detachment, it leads to detachment from the wrong, from wrong understanding and wrong practice and doubt. So there needs to be understanding of what is right practice and wrong practice.
And are we agreed that the four sections in the Satipatthana Sutta is a way of classifying, if you like, all dhammas? So we have kaya upasana, the rupas taken for the body. We have vedana, citta, and then dhamma, dhammanupasana, which then mentions, for example, the hindrances, but then the khandhas, five khandhas, which are all dhammas, and ending with the Noble Eightfold Path. So clear comprehension of the dhamma of the mentioned in the Satipatthana Sutta is the same as the understanding of the all mentioned in the sutta about what is the all or what is to be understood, the five khandhas.
I'm sorry for being silent for so long. I'm rearranging furniture in the mind.
Well, I mentioned that because it's an important part of the assumptions on which we are having have our discussions here. For example, the khandhas, ayatanas, dhatus, four foundations of mindfulness are all ways of covering the dhammas, jitta, jitta, sika, rupa. All jitta, jitta, sika, rupa.
So the right practice always has to be now, understanding now, not selection of any object, but just understanding of what appears now, because no one to do anything, no other moment. There is only ever the present conditioned Dhamma appearing to be known.
I think John and I have discussed this on list, the Kimsuka Sutta.
The what Sutta?
The Kimsuka Sutta, where there were four different practices.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Just
in this sutta, a monk was asking four arahats. And the first arahat said the six sense bases.
Right.
Second monk said the five, five khandhas. Focus on the six sense bases, focus on the five khandhas, focus on the four elements. And then the fourth monk, the fourth arahat, said, focus on whatever arises right now. And so, very confused, the monk went to the Buddha. And the Buddha said each of those arahats explained how they had approached the path from their own angle. And yes, each of them having involved understanding, right? But there was selection, because the first one said, selected. The first monk had selected.
Impossible.
Okay, so help me understand the interpretation of the sutta then.
Dhammas can be understood or reflected upon in different ways. So, and that's why the Buddha taught about dhammas in different ways, because people have different accumulations. So for some, thinking of dhammas as adhatus, impersonal elements, is particularly helpful. For others, or even for the same person but at a different time, thinking of dhammas in terms of ayatanas, which are the meeting point of different dhammas for the present moment of experiencing. And so I think the question was asked was, at the time of enlightenment, what had been their point of reflection, and they each gave an answer. But it doesn't mean they had selected that to do a practice. It just reflects the fact that at different times, different people are thinking of dhammas in terms of different aspects of dhammas. It's like asking someone whether they became enlightened by seeing dhammas as anicca or dukkha or anatta. It doesn't mean there's a selection of one. It just reflects the fact that that was the particular characteristic that was prominent at a given time.
Would that not be that would be according to conditions and accumulations of that particular arahat, not by choice?
Do you select to see?
Seeing arises naturally.
Do you select to hear?
Hearing arises naturally.
Do you select to think?
The thinking conditioned by the seeing or hearing or sometimes...
It agrees with the teachings, anatta. Otherwise, it's against the teaching. That's why Buddha taught to those who could understand the teachings in his time, to those who have accumulated lots of understanding enough to understand that all words conform with the others. Like anatta must be all the way, citta, cetasika, rupa, all are conditioned reality. No selection at all. From understanding this in the beginning, it will develop on and on and on. Even the word right understanding will lead to more and more kusala, including understanding. It means that right understanding understands that without hearing, considering, there cannot be the development of understanding. That is right understanding. So it's right understanding which is so very confident, very firm understanding that it's now. At the moment of seeing, what does right understanding know or understand at this moment of seeing? Because there is seeing all day. At moment of hearing, just right now, Buddha taught a lot about conditions for hearing to arise. So what right understanding understand now at moment of hearing? It cannot understand the other thing which does not appear. But at this moment of hearing, only the moment of hearing, no one there at all in the world, the whole world, here or there, there is just that which arises to hear, and the sound, that's all. In order to understand that there is no self at all, it does mean that I am sitting and hearing, because that's the idea of my body is sitting and I hear. Those are all I. No understanding of each reality like it is. At moment of hearing, there is nothing. Otherwise, there is no vipassanayana. If there are still many, many things together, how can there be clear comprehension when there are more than just one object at a time? And when it's that object, it indicates that no one, no thing at all, only that reality which is conditioned, no selection. And this is all he taught in Tipitaka.
And whether we refer to
seeing as a khanda or a dhatu or an ayatana, it's still just the characteristic of seeing that's understood.
So what is Dhamma? Even right now, it's not just the word. if we think about all Dhamma, it's whatever appears by conditioned right now. It's only thinking. But when there's direct awareness with understanding of a reality, it's not thinking. Reality appears to Panya. So Panya understand, comprehend that which appears, beginning from understanding that it's conditioned. For example, sound right now. Do you have intention, selection to hear? Or it's heard already by conditions. And that which hears, it's not self, it's not I. Only a moment of hearing, which is different from a moment of seeing and thinking. One citta arises with cetasikas at a time. Experience only one object. Each word is the true word. The teachings of the Buddha never change. So Panya develops to understand it little by little until it appears as Buddha taught, as it is, no matter in this life or other life, the past or the future, the same, by conditions. So it's a long way to go to develop right understanding, not by the self, but by understanding, begin to understand firmly, little by little, until it becomes satyayana. Because only pariyatti will lead to patipatti and to pativeda. That's not enough. Because now we are learning about seeing realities, thinking, so on. But this is only pariyatta. It's not satyayana yet. That's why many people study the teachings and then go to meditation center. At meditation center, no understanding of whatever is here and everywhere. So it's not satyayana to have firm confidence on whatever appears now. Is that what Buddha taught for Panya to understand as the self? Didn't he say so in his teachings about seeing and whisper object, hearing sound and so forth? All realities in daily life. So pariyatti cannot become satyayana when it's not firm enough, when it moves away, not to understand whatever appears at moment of selection. That's not his teaching.
This morning Sundra and I were having a little chat about
sincerity and truthfulness and satyayana. Anything else to on sincerity or truthfulness?
Because pariyatti is not just reading or hearing, it's the understanding. Truly.
Ajahn, you've been talking about satyajnana there, and I imagine that's linked with sincerity. Would you speak to sincerity right now, please?
Okay. Why one study the teachings?
To develop an understanding of the truth.
Not for you, not for anything, but by knowing that there is ignorance, not knowing whatever appears in life from birth to death. Talk just about anything without any understanding of reality at all. That's why, because of realizing that there is no understanding of whatever appears, and Buddha is the only one who can teach about realities. When there's time to study, why not? But one has to study very carefully, because who am I and who's he? The enlightenment. So each word contains the truth, deeper and deeper, subtle, very, very subtle. That's why even Dhamma, it can bring the understand very firmly. No one, no self. Whatever appears now is conditioned. Without conditions, nothing can arise at all. and whatever arises falls away immediately, instantly, succeeding so rapidly. That's why it can bring about the idea of different shapes and forms to be different people and things with ignorance. Just for this sake, not for I or anyone, just for the truth to understand, to see that there's no me, no I. Otherwise, there must be clinging to everything except that which hasn't arise, Nibbana, that which does not appear, not arise.
And that reality can only arise if we are sincere about the truth.
Lokuttara citta arises when it experiences Nibbana. So it's Panya all along with the development of Panya. If there is no understanding of whatever appears now, that's not the path.
Yeah, it's easy to be forgetful.
Thinking of other ways or other means, that is wrong. That is the wrong understanding of reality, which cannot have right understanding of that which appears now. Is the sata at that moment of wrong understanding? No. Not at all, see. And viriya?
Yes, wrong.
Yes, but wrong viriya.
Mostly it's wrong viriya.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back for a moment to that panya conditioning detachment. Of course, they arise together at the same time.
And, excuse me, what condition attachment?
Panya.
Attachment.
Attachment would be...
Ignorance.
Ignorance.
Avijja. And ignorance is opposite of panya.
Right.
So
right.
Ignorance condition attachment and panya condition detachment.
Yep. However, there are also four cittas without wisdom,
mm-hmm.
which are also kusala.
Right.
And they also have detachment.
Yes. From what? Depending. Because at moment of dana, it's detachment from clinging to that which give.
Right.
Only that. If there is attachment to that object, there cannot be give away things at all.
So, I'm just piecing this together. When there is panya, there is detachment
from ignorance. Ignorance, attachment, doubt,
idea of self. Because there is a awareness of the three characteristics of the object, so therefore there is a detachment from self.
Not yet. Just at the moment of understanding,
mm-hmm.
theoretically, it detaches from taking, theoretically or intellectually, to that which one used to take it for self.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So, with a wholesome mental state, with understanding, with panya, this conditions detachment from the idea of self.
When it's the degree which can understand reality as non-self. For example, if one still take it for self, like dana I give, no understanding.
If there is kusala citta without panya,
mm-hmm.
then the detachment is from the object or from something else.
But not from self.
But not from self.
Right.
And by natural
like we were saying about sada,
by natural tendencies, by habit, kusala citta arises, but it's not developed because no understanding.
So
it's just naturally arising kusala by accumulation.
It'll bring good karma. It's good, but it is not conducive to spiritual development, to detaching from self.
Exactly. And you also mentioned in our
discussion yesterday evening what you called a duty to moral obligation, or a duty to spiritual development or meditation. Would you like to bring that up?
I was asked point blank, as I'm sure you can understand, why do you meditate?
You asked me?
No.
We are.
I was asked repeatedly from different angles by different people, why do you meditate?
In the gentlest possible way.
In the gentlest possible way, in the kindest possible way. And
I would like to understand meditation before we talk about further.
Okay.
What is meditation?
Meditation is a structured formal practice.
So it's not right understanding.
It can involve right understanding.
Whatever appears now?
It can involve. Obviously, it has to involve
so
what appears now.
What condition right understanding of whatever appears now?
What conditions the right understanding of
whatever appears now?
Panya.
What level of panya?
A panya of non-self.
What level? Intellectual understanding or what?
No. So must be through the experience of the
satyayana, you mean?
Yes.
No satyayana. Change, no move away from whatever appears. Okay. Only when there are conditions for right awareness and right understanding arise. It cannot arise without conditions. So only when that level of panya has developed to not moving away from that which appears right now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the development of panya, no matter you call it meditation or contemplation or anything. But it has to be panya, which understands the reality which appears as not self, as just that particular reality. For example, at this moment of seeing, panya understands the seeing as it is with right awareness, or it can understand that which is seen as not self, no one in there at all. Because usually in a day, no such understanding at any time of seeing. But when it's panya, it sees the difference between visible object and the idea of that as something which is not visible object. Otherwise not panya. At the level of bhavana, the development of right understanding, from intellectual understanding to the direct understanding, so that it can be padiveda, the realization of the reality as it is. Are you talking about this?
When I talk about meditation, two parts, two aspects, samatha vipassana, or to use our earlier example, when there is wisdom or understanding, then there is a...
But there must be object of understanding, not just understanding without understanding in object.
Yes.
So, in understanding what?
Whether it is... In the case of the vipassana meditation?
No, we don't talk about that because it's not vipassana yet. It's only the development of understanding from moment to moment. Otherwise, it cannot be vipassana.
Okay.
So you have to begin now.
what is traditionally called Vipassana meditation.
What does it mean?
There is awareness of the ultimate reality.
But what is Vipassana? What is Vipassana?
The understanding of the Panya applied to the three characteristics of whatever
arises. In the beginning? Or what is the beginning of the development of Vipassana?
Vipassana being defined as the sankharas, understanding of sankharas, which that is at the... So what we traditionally call Vipassana meditation is preparing for...
If we don't call it Vipassana meditation, what is that?
No problem. It's just mindfulness. Awareness. We don't need to label
you mean
it Vipassana.
Not just awareness, but the aim is the Panya.
Yes, the Panya.
Yeah,
the Panya. Panya is the centerpiece of Vipassana.
What do you mean by the difference between Vipassana and Panya?
The centerpiece. It's the center. It's the focal point. It is the essential aspect.
Panya. Which is?
Panya is the essential aspect of the Vipassana practice.
I still have doubt about Vipassana practice.
What else is there apart from Panya?
We talked earlier about two groups of wholesome...
Just one, please. Vipassana must be Vipassana. It cannot be other thing.
Okay. We talked about dana earlier without...
No.
Understanding.
Understanding.
With no understanding. Mm-hmm. This is... gives good accumulations, it gives good karma, but it does not lead to spiritual development.
Jaitasikas accumulated.
Right. It's wholesome, but is not
no self.
Leading to an understanding of non-self.
Mm-hmm.
That is metta meditation, that is the non-vipassana meditation, the samatha
no,
meditation.
No, giving is not meditation.
No. I am saying that when practicing the metta meditation as an example,
what?
This does not lead to detachment
from self. What is that? Then we have to carefully think about the truth. Each word. So, each word, please.
Okay. The practice of metta meditation.
What is metta?
Non-attachment, loving kindness. It's the loving kindness. It's the adosa chittasika.
You mean now?
You asked a general question of what is metta.
And I would like to understand if it's not now, how can it develop?
This moment, there is a element of adosa, but there is not a feeling of metta.
So what's the difference?
Level of intensity. When there is a... After an hour sitting, radiating metta, the level of intensity. I know I'm walking into a minefield. That's fine. I know I'm walking into a minefield.
Five minefields.
Yes. and that's fine.
I think that with our right understanding, it's impossible to know whether it's metta, kusala, or attachment.
That is a very good point. Without right understanding, to know whether it is metta, kusala, or attachment, it is not possible.
So without Panya, it's impossible to develop metta, or metta to develop.
No, why do you make that jump?
Because you see that when we talk... Yeah, because you see that when we use the word development, bhavana, it's not just temporary.
Right, it's cultivation, right.
Yeah. So it needs panya, no matter it's tranquil meditation or vipassana meditation, or development instead of meditation.
The practice of metta meditation.
The practice again?
Yes.
What do you mean? we have to be so truthful to the truth, otherwise we get nothing from the teachings.
Sincerity.
Satya.
Metta can arise now, right?
Metta can arise now.
Can it be developed when it arises?
It can be developed when it arises.
If there's the panya that understands the kusala quality.
Does it, that, why do we make the link that it needs to have, for metta to develop?
No method.
Why does it need to have panya to understand it? Can metta not develop without the non-self, without the understanding
it
of non-self?
It just accumulates.
It accumulates.
Right. That's not the development of metta. The accumulation of metta is not the same as the development of metta.
Okay. What is the difference between the accumulation of metta and the development of metta?
Panya, which understands the kusala quality.
Okay. So... without the panya, can accumulate lots and lots of metta. And so the mind without the panya becomes full of metta, habituated to react with metta to any trigger.
But the point is, if metta can arise now, as we said,
right.
If there's not the panya that understands that kusa quality mm-hmm. now as it arises naturally, how could it be practiced? Because how could one know that what one's practicing
Let
is true
kusala? Let me say, what's the result of the development of metta, which is a tranquil meditation of samatha bhavana?
Mm-hmm.
What does it lead to?
It leads to accumulation of metta.
More than that?
Sorry. I want to avoid jhana. I want to avoid the jhana topic.
But you see that we are talking about what you say, practice or meditation,
yes.
And the Pali word is bhavana.
Mm.
So it leads to different degrees.
Yes.
When it's only the daily metta, it accumulates by itself because
yes.
Whatever arises is accumulated from moment to moment.
Yes.
That is not the bhavana or samatha bhavana, because samatha bhavana leads to further kusala, to the degree of jhana, not only kama vajra. So let's talk about daily life or the development of more kusala like jhana, bhavana, which is greater than just temporary metta or momentary metta. Otherwise we mix them all with our own idea about everything. While one is reading the Tipitaka, there is the idea of oneself. Think about that with our own thoughts. But that is not the meaning of the words of the Buddha. Each word is the word of right understanding. Each. So without right understanding, one reads the Tipitaka with one's own idea. It seems like Buddha taught us or told us to do this or that, but actually he taught everyone with his great compassion to have understanding of realities as not self, which will lead to more and more understanding of what he taught, all about realities, effort or anything, all are dhammas.